Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Coded Dave. Thanks for joining us in this very first live streaming on the channel. I'm here with Anthony, my good friend and colleague. I'll give you a chance to introduce yourself in a moment, but thanks for joining me. And yeah, I think everything is all right. Let me check the stream. Yep. All right. So let me roll the intro and let's start. And here we are. So as I said, thanks for joining us. Anthony, do you want to introduce briefly yourself?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Coder Dave. I'm super excited to be your very first guest on your very first live stream. This is awesome. So I'm a fellow DevOps architect working with Davide and trying to help our customers succeed with their DevOps transformations.
Great. All right, so let's jump into the topic of today, which is GitHub safe to use? And the title of this seems a little bit weird, probably, but let me explain you why I wanted to bring this up and the reasons for that. So if you go around in the forums and on Google, you see that there's a lot of people searching for this, is GitHub safe to use or is GitHub safe in general? And of course, as you can imagine, this is quite a broad question. But whenever you go into forums or any other location, you see people answering that question, but always one topic at a time. There is never a comprehensive question. So what I wanted to do today is trying to address as many of those topics and scenarios as we can, to give maybe not a super in-depth overview, but a general overview of GitHub safety. Whatever that means, right? So that's my goal for today, and we have the chat open, so we may not be able to answer all your questions. But if you have any question, just feel free to drop them in the chat, and if it's relevant to what we are talking in that moment, I will try to bring that up and answer that. If not, we have time at the end of the stream to see and answer some of those questions. So let me start saying that in general, so if you want to answer the question, is GitHub safe to use? I would say that GitHub is safe to use. However, there are a few things that you need to be careful about. And especially, GitHub itself is a platform. It's a platform for hosting your code, to manage your projects. So as long as you treat it as it is, there should not be any problem. You need, of course, to be careful of the code you're downloading or you're using. If it's your code, there's no problem. But if you try to use or download some third-party code, then is when you need to be careful, especially if you're trying to download some kind of artifact, like some executable files, DLLs, scripts, whether they're PowerShell or Shell or whatever kind of script. So anything that can change anything on your computer or on the server where you're running it. So in general, you need to be a little bit careful, a little bit more careful about that. With that said, though, it's interesting to notice that GitHub has some policies around what they call unsafe code. And this is, for example, malware, ransomware, viruses, exploits, etc. And that you may find on the platform, but whenever there's, GitHub knows about those, whether because there is, some active investigation, if you will, or a user reports that, then depending on the type of content, but GitHub may remove that from the platform. So again, you need to be careful of what you're using from GitHub. GitHub itself as a platform is safe and secure. User code may or may not be safe. And one quick note, whenever I mention any policy or term of service or documents, etc., you have already all of them linked in the video description. If during the conversation we mention something that is not in the description yet, I will link that after the streaming. So if you're watching this after the streaming happened, you probably find that already in the video description. So talking about things that you need to be careful about, and this is not necessarily only related to GitHub, this happened in many, many different websites and platform, is most of the platform nowadays have tracking codes, usually third-party tracking codes. And some of those, of course, are, you know, useful because it's, you know, Google Analytics or anything like that. But some of them, you don't really know what they do. So I think we have a we had a very cool way to handle this in GitHub, Anthony. Am I right?
Yeah, certainly. So I hate tracking cookies, those third-party cookies that sites just seem to, you know, throw down at you all the time, to a point where I actually have a Raspberry Pi running Pi-hole, and I use that to basically block DNS entries for a lot of these advertising sites, which is good and bad. A lot of the sites rely on that advertising content. I do understand that, but, you know, it's always a balancing act between good use of cookies and evil use of cookies. So something that I was really, really happy to read back in December last year was that GitHub have eliminated all third-party tracking cookies from our platform. And I think that's just really, really great news. I'd like to see lots more organizations adopt that same sort of policy.
Yeah, that's correct. And actually, I think it was in response to all the whole GDPR thing that GitHub started looking into that. And if you're not familiar with the GDPR, you're very lucky because it means it probably doesn't apply to you, even though it probably does. I will not go down the rabbit hole now, but the GitHub started looking into that for GDPR concerns and decided to basically get rid of everything that which is very, very cool. And speaking about GDPR and other regulations, and in general for a better user experience, I believe there's always a request for transparency not from GitHub or from, you know, the whole technology landscape, but in general from all the companies. And it's pretty nice to see that GitHub is moving also in that direction. So if you're concerned about transparency on GitHub and what's going on behind the scenes, especially when it comes to, as I said before, policies around unsafe code and code removal and those kind of thing, it's very interesting to see that there has been they just published like 5 days ago something called GitHub's 2020 transparency report, in which you can find not only what the policies are, which is already quite interesting, but also all the actions that have been taken according to those policies and to this mechanism that we have for keeping the platform safe, keeping the platform more open and transparent to the users. So that's really cool. And once again, I'm not going to go through the transparency report now. It's like, I don't know, 80 pages long. We will need like a half day streaming just for that. But you can find that in the video description as well. I want to change page now and talk about some other kind of, you know, security and safety of GitHub. And this is something that other users asking for, is GitHub safe, mean when they ask that question. And it's related to more to incidents, whether they are, platform incidents or technical incidents, or even more importantly, security incidents. And it could be, you know, what if there's a hack, or what is there is someone breaking into the platform and getting my code and anything like that. As far as I know, by the way, that hasn't happened. It happened in individual repos of contributors, but that was most likely, credential theft or something like that. It was more on the single repo instance rather than on the platform itself. But in general, in case of incident, GitHub does have what they call security incident response team, which acts in a very interesting way, because there is, of course, the reactive approach kind of thing. So whenever, you know, an incident happens, or, you know, if anything happens, the team step in and remediate the issue and try to counter the incident itself. But what's really interesting, in my opinion, is that, and I didn't know that, I just discovered this while I was preparing for this live stream, is that we also have a proactive threat detection going on. So most of the time, we are able to intercept these problems and these incidents even before they happen. And that's thanks to two things. First of all, of course, the security team is actively looking into things and implementing instruments and tools to prevent that to happen. but also because we have some sort of security that learns, as they like to call it, because every incident, whenever it happened, is archived in a huge internal database, and it's archived and recorded together with all the information we have for that incident, what caused that incident, all the post-incident assessments, and so on and so forth. And then we learn from that, trying to implement some countermeasures to prevent that from happening once again. And of course, this is, you know, at the platform level and for security incidents. But if we talk about, you know, platform incidents or technical incidents, there's also one thing that I want to mention very briefly, which is the availability of the platform. So I remember back in the day when Microsoft acquired GitHub, there was a lot of, you know, malcontent, if you will, and a lot of wariness in the people, especially people that don't like Microsoft that much, saying that the platform would have been, you know, ruined and everything. Well, that luckily didn't happen, and I'm very happy to that I can say that. In fact, if you look at the availability report for December, there was a record 100% uptime. There's not been a single minute downtime in December. January, I think it's there's been like a few minutes downtime. We don't have the data for February, but it's all and well within the SLA, which is a pretty comprehensive SLA. So again, is GitHub safe for you to use if I need to rely on that, like a, you know, a core platform? I would say it definitely is. All right, so let's talk about more, you know, your code, because this is a big part of what is GitHub safe mean to many, many people. And there's, again, a lot of things that we can consider when it comes to your code. So the question would be, if your code is on GitHub, is it safe?
That's a good question. So I think it comes up quite often as well when you look at other, when you read about breaches and the leak of confidential information, it's often the case that people have used cloud resources and simply not secured them appropriately. They've gone and put a lot of sensitive information into public buckets. And that's just sort of leaving the doors to the house wide open. When you create repos in GitHub, you get to set the visibility of those repositories. Now, of course, you can set those repositories to be truly public. And that's exactly what the name implies, public. Anyone can see them, and that's at the heart of open source. So lots of public repos on GitHub, of course. You've also got private repositories, and this is where you want to control who can access the information in your repositories. You mark it private, and then you've got complete control over who you give access to. Now, there's no way around that. You're choosing who you hand the keys out to. The vulnerability there is, of course, credential theft. If those people you hand access to don't protect those credentials appropriately, then anyone can thieve those resources and get access to your repos. It was only introduced a few months ago now, but if you're using GitHub Enterprise Cloud, you've also got the idea of internal as your visibility. And internal is all about providing read-only access by default to everyone in your enterprise. And that's a great way of facilitating things like inner source initiatives. So within a secure boundary, your enterprise, anyone can come and have a look and find code and reuse code and contribute to it, which I think is fantastic. So you want to make sure that when you put your code into GitHub, you set the visibility of those repositories accordingly. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. One thing I want to add here is two things. Is the first one is that you make sure that GitHub is not taking your code for any reason, right? Even if it's a public repo, GitHub is not. If you look at the term of service, for example, GitHub cannot sell or distribute or, you know, take your code for any reason. The only reason why GitHub may or normally does take your code is for backup purposes, right? So GitHub wants the code to be saved, to be stored, to be always available. So there are, of course, behind the scenes backup. But this is the only reason why GitHub may take your code. Another thing I want to add here is talking about private repos. The code on private repos is treated as confidential. And again, this is from the term of service document. And there is very few instances in which the GitHub personnel may access the repo content. And I need to read it because I don't remember, but there are only five. And it's security purposes to assist the repo owner with a support matter. So if you actually open a support ticket with GitHub, they may access your repo, but only after you grant them access or you authorize them to access that. It's to maintain the integrity of the service. As I said before, if your code is a malware or ransomware or anything like that, we may access the code to remove that. And same with complying with legal obligations. And this is very interesting because there's been some rumor about that. But if you look at the transparency report, as I mentioned before, you can see that this happened very, very few times. GitHub is very, very into conserving your rights on your code and on the platform. And the last one is if there is a reason to believe the contents are in violation of the law, then of course we may look into the code. But it's all detailed, it's all made public. It's nothing. No one is going secretly looking at your code without you knowing. I think this is very, very important when they ask, is GitHub safe to use? It is, because you know that your code is treated as confidential, unless, of course, it's in a public repo where everyone has access. I want to pivot up a little bit here. And again, if there is any question from the viewers, just put it in the chat and we will try our best to answer those questions. But what I want to talk about now is, given all we've said, what can we do to be safer? And I would say, talking about what I was talking in the beginning. So as a in general, since GitHub is just a code sharing platform, code hosting platform, and a project management and whatnot. But in general, what you could say is that you could assume that bigger, more known projects are safer. And this is basically because many people are acting as code reviewer, are taking care of the code and security and so on and so forth. Even though this is not 100% guaranteed, because, for example, if we take the OpenSSL project, it had a security vulnerability in the code that has been resolved like a while ago, but it was there for like, I guess, 2 years before anyone actually noticed that. And the reason why they noticed that is because of another tool that I want to talk about in a moment. But even though there were hundreds of people there checking the code and making sure that it was okay, we are all humans. We make mistakes. So in general, bigger projects are safer, but just treat them as always third-party code and just double check it, right?
And I think something that GitHub really does for the open source community there, and you'll talk about some of these tools coming up, is GitHub makes so many of our security tools free for open source projects. So we try and, as the world consumes so much open source in their applications, it's important that they're secured, that vulnerabilities are detected. And I just think, GitHub's fantastic in that it makes these tools free for open source projects. So I just wanted to add that, Code of Dave.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was also going to move on to the idea of authentication. So in terms of authentication, this is a really big thing. So yes, you've got username, password, the usual things to think about, but I always turn on multi-factor authentication, two-factor authentication. And that's natively supported within GitHub. You've got different choices and options there. I tend to use phone using authenticator applications on here. I'm not a big fan of the schemes that send SMSs. You've got the choice between using SMS as a second factor or using, say, an authenticator application on your phone, I'd always lean towards the application. That's, in my eyes, a much more secure option.
I like the option that they call you and they give you the code by phone, or you need to press on the phone the code. Yeah,
Yes.
I'm joking, obviously.
Which is also great for people like you and I that pre-COVID did a lot of traveling. So the phone call options,
Exactly.
yeah, just brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
The other thing in terms of your identities is when you, can you hear that lightning and thunder in the background there, Coder Dave? All right, stay on power. So, in setting up your identity provider in GitHub, you can integrate it with identity providers like Azure Active Directory. Your organization might use Okta or a variety of others. That's great because they control and manage these identities for you. And in the example of things like Azure Active Directory, you can also take advantage of, a lot of the other security capabilities built into those identity providers. So you can use, for some of my projects, I've got, you log on to GitHub and you've got your two-factor authentication. Then I access a work-based repository linked to Azure Active Directory, and I'm challenged again with the corporate policies. And I know some people see that as being inconvenient, but they're different things. One is my choice as a GitHub account user to protect me accessing things like any repos. And then when I access a protected work resource, then the work policies should apply. And if they want to implement their own multi-factor authentication, fantastic, they should. But then they can also use things like some of the conditional access policies, the auditing, and all those other great features of Azure Active Directory. But I mentioned before, there's some really great tools that GitHub make available to open source projects free. And some of these are free and paid for enterprises. You want to tell us a bit about that, Coder
Yeah,
Dave?
exactly. So this is what I was mentioning briefly before, and you're right. There's like a whole lot of tools that we can use, and the interesting part is that most of those tools are actually free for personal use, and most of them are also free on the enterprise cloud. And so what I do is, even though maybe sometimes I want to use a project or a code from someone, and maybe they don't have those tools in place, what I do is normally I fork their repo. I enable those tools in my repo so I can scan the code, make sure that everything is okay. And then when I've done that, I'm safer, right? And I can start looking in and using the code with peace of mind. And of course, if you're familiar with GitHub, I'm referring to things like Dependabot, which is a great tool to understand if your vulnerabilities have dependencies. And not only understand, but also make sure that, or have a chance for the tool to create pull requests for those dependencies automatically. So you don't even have to go and change anything on your project to solve those problems in your dependencies. The tool does that for you. Another thing is it's a good thing if you want to make sure that everything is secure on your dependency background. The other tools are could be like, for example, secret scanning. This is more, I wouldn't necessarily think that big third-party projects have secrets in their code, but thing, may happen. But also for your code, if you want to be more secure, more and safer, you may want to make sure that you don't commit to GitHub, especially in public repos, any password or any key for any third-party service like your cloud provider or your SMS provider and whatnot. And secret scanning, it's a very good way to do so, because not only can identify if you have any secret or password in your code, but also can make sure for supported services to invalidate those credentials directly and create other ones for you, and so on and so forth. And of course, the probably most powerful one is the code scanning with the CodeQL engine on the behind the scenes. And this is really, really powerful, and this is what I normally enable when I fork a repo to make sure that the code I'm forking, it's safe, doesn't contain any specific problem or any vulnerability, if you will. And code scanning is really, really powerful for that. It supports a whole ton of different languages. It's really, really, really cool. So if you've never played with that, just take a look at it. It's completely for free in public repos. And I guess it makes a ton of difference when it comes to, you know, is GitHub safe to use? If you want to make sure that it's even safer to use, enable those tools and it makes difference.
Sure. So something I've also been asked quite often now is when organizations start using GitHub Actions, you can go into the marketplace and there's, you know, thousands and thousands of these great tools in the marketplace. Some other ones that aren't so great, that are probably more learning and novelty. But then you look at these things and you think, do I really trust this action? I don't know who wrote it necessarily. How do we trust it? Well, I guess in thinking about that a little bit more, for enterprises, you've got control. Firstly, organization owners can choose to totally disable actions. It doesn't sound like a great idea because, you know, CI/CD, automated workflows and things, that's kind of DevOps, right? You can enable it, but you can also choose to then go and limit it. So you can limit the particular actions that are available if you want to. Now, it's something to be, you've got to give it thought. Limiting things, well, as the name implies, that introduces limits, administration. And I think one of the really great strengths of actions is if, no matter what you want to do, you can probably go and find an action in the marketplace that's going to do it. If you've got to then go and get approval and go through a whole lot of process, are you really getting the value you think you're getting? I don't know. So I guess the advice that I'd normally say is, firstly, these actions must exist in public repositories, or for the most part, unless you're limiting it, in which case it's got to be inside your enterprise. I'll give you an analogy. If you pick up your mobile phone and you go into any of the app marketplaces, if you're going to put something on your phone, what do you normally do? I normally have a look to see who the publisher is. I may or may not know them. I'll have a look at the rating. And if it's 1 or 2 stars, it's like, well, that's not very good. Maybe I can look somewhere else. I'll look at the reviews, and are the reviews saying very positive things? If they're saying too many positive things, was this created by a bot? But with actions, you've got this added benefit. There's a link to that source code in a public repository. So go to the GitHub repository and have a look. You can view the source code if you want to, but have a look at the issues. So if users of that action have had problems, if they go and create issues, have a look how many issues are open, how many issues are closed, how quickly are they closed? Is the maintainer or the maintainers, the community around the action, are they active and vibrant? Are they helping? I think these are all things you'd normally do to help evaluate that. And it really follows that open source mantra of security through transparency, openness, and visibility. Yeah. The other little caveat I'll put there is sometimes I've seen organizations go, we want to use this action. Here's the source code. But they might change it. So they then try and fork that repo. And then they think that's more safe. I don't know that I think that's a great idea, because of course you've then incurred a significant maintenance overhead. When anything changes, when that particular action's improved, enhanced, when a security vulnerability may be closed, how often do you then update your forked copy of that? I don't think it's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about that as you were saying it. May seem like, yeah, now I know what's in there, right? But you give up all the power of the open source, all the power of the community, and then everything is on you, right? And yeah, may not be worthy. Mm-hmm. All right. And sorry, anything else you wanted to add to that?
Not at the moment. Hopefully your viewers of the live stream are really, really keen on actions and have gone and explored and had a look at it. I know that you've already had some really great content in your YouTube channel already on actions. So, hopefully people are getting interested and involved with that.
Yeah, and also if you all are into like things like security, I had a video like a couple of weeks ago on how to treat security incidents in a DevOps context. But so go and check that out. But also I will have a video coming up soon on all things security, a broader view of security for DevOps and how that should be managed. All the concept of shifting left on security, all those kind of things that somehow are part of the, or maybe part of the answer at the question, is GitHub safe to use, right? So I think on my side, I basically covered everything I wanted to. Just to have a brief recap, yeah, you know, you can say GitHub it's safe to use as a platform itself. You may need to be careful of the code you're using, if it's a third-party code or if it's your code. You know, you want to be careful of what you're, you know, committing into the repo. Don't commit secrets or anything like that. GitHub doesn't take your code, and it makes sure that if there's code that can be treated as malware or anything that may harm you or some systems, there are policies in place to try and avoid that. And in general, you know, try to use GitHub with the tools that are provided. That can be, you know, anything from code scanning to secret scanning to all the tricks, if you will. Anthony just walked us through when talking about how to make sure our actions are safer and make sure that, you know, we know what you were doing. All right, Anthony, I want to thank you for being here today. I think it has been really nice seeing also your point of view and your insights on those things. Do you have a closing line or anything?
No, nothing at all. Just a big thank you to you too. I'm a big fan of the Codedave YouTube channel, and certainly any colleagues in the industry, I always make sure they're well aware of it. So I'll say that I help contribute to some of those wonderful followers you've got there. So thanks for inviting me along and letting me be your first guest on Codedave Live.
My pleasure. I hope, and I'm sure my viewers appreciate that too. All right, so that's it for me. Thanks so much for watching. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you like it, just hit the like button below and subscribe if you haven't already. And I see you in the next video here at Codedave.